Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, hey, welcome back to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree Mitchell, and I'm the host of the show, as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a space and platform of intentional healing, joy, rest, abundance, liberation for Black women. Today, I want to give you 6 things to help you immediately leave this whole concept of struggle, especially financial struggle, behind. We don't want to play games with our future. I've talked about how I view myself as being present, obviously now, plus having a future self, and how I do certain things to set my future self up for success in a variety of ways. So really, again, this is kind of like talking about doing things for our future self. That future comes so fast, y'all. 1 minute, like in my case, I'm 27, I'm having my first kid. And the next thing you know, I'm now almost 50 years old. Like, make it make sense. Where does the time go? And so I've shared my story on the podcast before, you know, ain't no shame in my game, talking about how I self-sabotaged, how I've dealt with financial situations and things like that. And in essence, I feel like I stole from, like my past self stole from this version of me that I am now. Yes, I am healing. I'm blooming. I am loving myself more and just being more confident and allowing myself to be vulnerable and handling my finances better now and just developing that emotional maturity and you know, just doing different things like that that are going to help me to live the type of life that I want to live and the type of life that I deserve. But past Brie, okay, she wasn't at this point yet. And so, like I mentioned before, I was just kind of like, I was obviously doing the best that I can, but I was stealing, in essence, from this version of me that sits before you today. And so, as I always say, first of all, it's never too late to start. I don't care if you're 25, I don't care if you're 21, 35, 55, 75, like it's never too late to start, right? There's no need to beat ourselves up about either things that we did not know or things that we did know, but we just did not have the capacity to do the things that we know now would have really just enhanced our lives, if that makes sense. We have traumas that we're working through. We have just different things that we are working through that, you know, are going to alter and affect the situation. But in my case, especially as I started to learn, you know, once you know better, I feel like once you know better, there's a responsibility to do better. It took me a long time to get to that place, though, because I just wasn't ready. So again, old Brie or younger Brie did a lot of stealing, you know, from this version of me. So it is what it is. You can't go back in time and change things. But again, you can start like today addressing things that need to be addressed. So that's what we're going to talk about today, like not playing games with your future. And I'm going to give you six things that can help you to kind of see the situation for what it is, regardless of what your situation is currently, and start to build a bridge to get to that next level so that, again, you can set your future self up for success starting from this point, okay? Starting from this point. So I don't care what your age is currently, there's always an opportunity and time to be thinking about your future self. I keep seeing and hearing stories about us. And when I say us, I mean Black women like myself, where we have sacrificed it all. If a Black woman ain't going to do nothing else, according to society, this is what we're supposed to do. We going to sacrifice it all. That's what we've been conditioned to do. It's not fair, but that's what we've been conditioned to do. So we are sacrificing it all. And literally, even though we have sacrificed it all, we are struggling in pretty much a lot of areas of our lives. We're struggling in our finances. We struggle in our relationships, our mental health. And down the line, even though we were like this, this quote unquote good and respectable Black woman, we were this good example of what Black womanhood should look like. I'm saying this with as much sarcasm as my heart can muster. I don't know if that's translating, but I want to make sure that I mention that in case you're just like, what the hell? But yeah, as we try to live these lives as these good and respectable, whatever Black womanhood is supposed to represent, right? And even though we do these things, at the end of it all, a lot of times we end up with nothing or just a barely enough to scratch by. And that is not acceptable. And again, that's even though we're the good mom, the good wife, the good partner, the good employee, the good daughter, like whatever, like when it's all said and done, where is that goodness, that quote unquote goodness and that respectable part of ourselves? Like where is that paying off for Black women? Where ultimately does that pay off for Black women? I hear a lot of stories about Black women going through all these things. At the end of it, they don't really have much to show for it. Does that make sense? I don't want to end up like that. I don't want you to end up like that. That's not what we deserve. And so that's why I'm talking about this subject today. So again, today I want to center in or hone in on just like the financial aspect, because obviously it's very important, right? And to be transparent, this is an area, like, listen, if you're new to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast, hear me when I tell you this, like, I am not too big, too good to let you know, like, hey, this is something that I'm like, this is where I was, and I might be further down the line now, but I might still have these struggles, or this is currently what I'm dealing with. Like, I'm not sitting here talking to you from a place, quote unquote, on high. Okay, that's just not what it is. So I want to make sure that I make that very clear. Like some parts of the whole adulting in the financial side, specifically since that's what we're talking about today, I still struggle wrapping my head around some of these things or even consistently doing the things that now, again, the whole know better, do better thing. I still struggle with consistently doing some things that I know is just like, girl, you're going to have to, you got to get this done. Okay. You got to get this done. Okay. So, it has taken me a very long time to break some of the cycles that I unwillingly and unfortunately sometimes willingly, ended up in. One thing I finally understood is that these cycles for me, started with a poor mindset. And nothing in my life changed until I made the hard decision to heal and to make different choices. Those cycles be cycling, y'all. They're called cycles for a reason. And it feels never ending. It feels never ending. It's hard to get out of a cycle. It's hard. It is. If it was easy, okay, but it's hard. I'm saying that because I want you to, as I always say, give yourself compassion, grace, understanding, mercy, okay, through these processes and these seasons and shifts that you and I are making. That's one of the keys. We have to be gentle with ourselves because the world is already not gentle to Black women. We know that. Okay. So if nothing else, we have to learn to be that safe space for ourselves. And I realize that for some of us, including myself, that's easier said than done. I have not always been a safe space for myself. I didn't really know what that was. So in any case, getting back to what I'm saying, I had to start to make different choices. And these choices were hard. These choices were hard, y'all, because I was still in a place of pain. Okay. And so my go-to was to do the things that felt good in the moment because I was so hurt. I was so bruised. I felt so damaged. So the only thing I knew that kind of felt good was, or that seemed like a logical solution was to not address, but to just do the things that lit me up like a dopamine hit. All right. Or made me feel better or feel like I was good enough. All right. But yeah, these choices were hard. Like to start doing these things was hard because I was still in a place at the beginning of all this where I was unhealed. I was in a lot of pain. I was feeling damaged. And so my go-to was to do things that felt really great in the moment in real time. But then again, future self, right? They had terrible consequences that I had to ultimately deal with. And so, yeah, that wasn't necessarily always the easiest thing. So, yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about today. I honestly wish that I can go back and tell my 20 or 30 year old self or to just love on my younger self. But again, obviously we can't do that. So the next best thing is just to start addressing things head on. We got to do that. We got to start addressing things head on. And I know that that can feel impossibly hard. I know that. I really, really do. Okay. So I'm really trying to address this topic. I'm going to continue talking about this stuff, by the way, because sometimes we need to hear the same theme, but in different ways over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's how it is for me. So you're going to see some of these things keep coming up. Right? And they may not be said exactly the same thing, but I just want us to, you know, really get it. So the first thing that I would want to say is that recognize that you and I, and a lot of us, like we started from a deficit. And so we have to give ourselves grace for that. Okay. So what do I mean by that? Like, what do I mean by we started from a deficit? Excuse me. So in a nutshell, many of us, we are not the product of generational wealth. Some of us can't even spell generational wealth. We don't even know what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm being a little silly here, but it's just like, we're so far removed from it. Like, we're just like, well, what is it? You know, how do we even spell it? But it's like a lot of us, and definitely me, like, I'm not the product of generational wealth, obviously. I would say I'm the product of generational poverty. That's what I'm the product of. And so again, we talked about cycles just a moment ago. This is just a cycle, the cycle that keeps on giving. And if we don't do something now, like again, I don't, no matter your age, 25, 45, 75, 85, like if we don't start to do things now, the cycle will just keep going until someone else down the line. It could be your child. It might skip your child and go to their child. It could be your grandchildren, your great, 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 great grandchildren. You know what I'm saying? But someone has to be willing to stand up and say, this ends now with me. And I'm going to start doing things now, even though they're hard, because I know that they are going to not only benefit me, but they're going to benefit my descendants, the people that are coming after me. Like right now, you are technically the ancestor. I was talking to someone about this before, and I cannot remember who the heck it was, but she was saying this. If it comes to me, this was someone in my inner circle, I'm pretty sure we were talking about this. Anyway, it's like, you are the ancestor. Actually, no, let me backtrack. One of my guests that I'm having on, you're going to hear her episode in either next week or in the next 2 weeks. Her name is Monique. I don't want to give too much away, but in our conversation, I believe it was her that said something along the lines of how she is
the ancestor right now that the descendants are going to be looking up to, or something along those lines. Anyway, I digress. But we are literally in the ancestor role right now. When we think about ancestors, of course, we're thinking about the people that came before us, obviously. But we are the things that we're doing right now. You know, the descendants are going to be looking at us as the ancestors when we're no longer here, and they're going to see, you know, or they're going to build upon the things that we've done. You know, that's just facts. That's just, it is what it is. So again, someone has to be willing to say, hey, these cycles are not healthy. These cycles they're not beneficial. I've got to stand up for myself in the future and start to implement some healthier habits, or start to learn some different coping tools, or start to make some better choices or different choices, even though in the moment, in the present, they don't feel good. That's just what it is. So, again, just understanding that a lot of us, we are starting from a deficit. A lot of us cannot say that we have like generational wealth. We don't extend or spring forth from generational wealth. And so, again, like I said, I'm a product of generational poverty. And we know that there is a such thing as white wealth. Okay, wealth was established years and years and decades ago. I mean, we know, like, for example, let's say the housing market. I'm not a homeowner yet, but I pray that one day in the near future I will be. But just speaking of like generational wealth and home ownership, right? And I know that not everyone wants to own a home. Not everyone wants to own property, but just hear me out. So we know that back in the day, in the 40s and the 50s, you could buy a house for 25 cents and a pack of Trident layers, okay? And that home that you bought for 25 cents and that pack of Trident layers back in 1947, okay? That home enabled you to build wealth. We know that. That home that you bought for 25 cents, if it's still in your family, might be worth $1 million right now. Okay? That's generational wealth. All right? So somebody's great granddaddy was able to get some property, and it just passed down from generation to generation. Or let's say, for example, they bought the home for 25 cents. I'm being sarcastic when I say 25 cents, but you know what I'm saying. They bought that home for 25 cents, or let's say they bought that home for $25,000 back in 1947 or 57 or whatever. And let's say they sold it 20 years later. They bought that home for $25,000. 20 years later, they sold it. Okay. Maybe the parent was dying at that point and they wanted to divvy up this, they were fighting over who can keep the house. They just sold it so that the three kids could have some of this, you know what I'm saying, equity or this money. And so they bought that home for $25,000 in 47. They sold it in 77, okay, or whatever. And now that home, let's say it was worth $600,000 30 years later. And you have three kids and you split that up after whatever fees and stuff have to be paid. I don't know. Let's say they get $200,000. That's a good chunk of money to build your life upon. That's a good chunk of money for you to now invest into whatever you want to invest into. Or let's say you took that $200,000 and you put that into like a $500,000 home or $600,000 home. Okay. So you've invested that and you end up buying this $600,000 home after 20, 30 years. So let's say this was 87, you bought the home. And then you sold it. This $600,000 home that you got like at least a third of the money to even buy it from, you know, what we talked about before, and you have kids. And now it's, let's say, 2024, this home you bought 20, 30 years ago that you bought for $600,000, and maybe now it's worth $2 million. Okay. Like, do you see what I'm saying? So for some of us, we didn't have that. That is a luxury that a lot of us did not have. We know that Black people typically were not buying homes in the 40s, the 50s, like what? We weren't able to do that for a variety of reasons. You feel me? So that's just one example of many of how white people were able to come here or whatever, however they got here. People that did not look like us, did not have dark skin, did not have Black Afro features, were able to stake the land. You know what I mean? Or have a stake in something. okay, back then, and then it's just been paying off in spades from generation to generation. We didn't have that luxury. So again, a lot of us did not come from that type of cycle of wealth. We came from like a cycle of poverty. And so that's just what it is. So I want you to recognize this. If you're comparing yourself and saying, oh, wow, my friends have X, Y, Z, or they're able to do da, 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 or they're whatever. Like, you cannot compare your situation to anyone else's, because we all have, our stories are different. Our stories are different. So if you didn't come from generational wealth, money was not something that really was in your household, I want you to give yourself all the grace and start with that as your base for the things that you do from that point. Just give yourself all the grace. It's necessary. So that's one thing. Again, in no particular order, another thing that I would say is to seek help / therapy for your money trauma related issues. I'm always going to say that. Seek some type of assistance, some type of therapy, some type of way that you can dialogue with a trusted professional that can help you work through some of these things, work through some of these issues. One way that you might want to start addressing this that might be more accessible is to maybe start to journal some things. Maybe if you're not able to necessarily get someone, and there are definitely affordable options popping up in real time for therapy, but it's still not completely accessible for people that look like me, for people that look like you. Okay. And I realize that. But again, we need to figure out ways that we can start to address these issues now, because what we don't want to do, for example, is look up and say, well, you know, I wanted to go to therapy for a few years, but you know, I didn't have the money to do it consistently. So here you are 20 years later. And now you're starting from that. You know what I mean? There are still ways to kind of start where you are now. That's like key. Doesn't have to be a perfect start. Doesn't have to be the most expensive and fabulous and grandiose start. It's just, you just got to start. So one thing that is very accessible, like I said before, is journaling. I'm a huge proponent of journaling. I will talk about this until I am blue in the face. But this can be a quick win for you just to kind of get the ball rolling. So maybe a journal prompt just to get you started in the meantime is to, you know, write this sentence and complete it. The sentence says, when I think about money or my financial story or my financial situation, I feel dot, 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 and start from there. Very simple. Write about how you feel. A lot of times we don't even know how we feel because we don't have the time or opportunities, or we don't take the time or opportunities to check in with ourselves. That is crucial as well, because whatever's going on in here, it is manifesting itself in a variety of ways in your body, outside of your body, in your environments, things like that. The way you feel, it's definitely in there. So sometimes just being able to see it for what it is and think it through is a great way to start. Or another prompt might be, right now, this is my money story. And, you know, write about your money story. But in the future, I'd like to dot, 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 start from there. Right now, this is my money story. But in the future, I'd like to dot, dot, dot. So those are two journal prompts just to kind of get you started thinking through this. Okay. So that was number two. The third thing that I would say, I don't even really want to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it anyway, because I'm a firm believer in my story makes a difference, and it's okay for me to be vulnerable and transparent. All right. So next one that I would say is get out of your quote unquote safe bubble you've created by avoiding reality. Yeah, your girl said it. Get out of your safe bubble that you've created by avoiding reality. Again, this is one of my toxic traits that is rooted in trauma. Your girl, I avoid, I run, I pretend I don't see, you know what I'm saying? Like that, like I have my blinders on, I can focus on all the things except for that thing that is just like the big scary monster in the closet. All right. There are times when I don't want to address hard things. I just don't want to address, like, who does, right? Who wants to address hard things, right?
Black representation in media matters. When we see people that look like us or share our experiences, it provides a sense of community, validation, and belonging while also resisting the narrative that we must remain silent and invisible. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR, where you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, and empowerment. One episode that I really enjoyed was titled, In Serena Williams, A Generation of Black Players Saw a Legend Who Looked Like Me. The way they wove the episode together with interviews, storytelling, and music kept my interest because it felt more like a documentary than a typical news piece. This is what it feels like to me to have our stories centered. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts. My hair is kinky, it's coily, it's beautiful, it's all the things, but the dryness is real, so it's also prone to feeling parched. This is why Waze Anti-Frizz Cream is my new BFF. It not only tames frizz, but helps my hair feel more hydrated. Listen, summer is coming. We are trying to be outside, going to brunch, plus traveling, and summer activities aren't always kind to our strands, okay? So let me tell you what I do for this. I wash my hair every 1 to 2 weeks. Don't sleep on Waze Detox Shampoo, by the way, if you have hard water or buildup. I detangle, I smooth in a little of the Waze Anti-Frizz Cream, then shingle in my natural gel. My hair is frizz-free, it's hydrated, and it's cute for days. Love sleek styles? Waze Anti-Frizz Cream works as a heat protectant up to 450 degrees as well. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code SELFCARE for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code SELFCARE.
I don't like addressing hard things sometimes. And as an adult, a part of adulting is learning how to do the hard things. That's just what it is, all right? That's just what it is. If we continue putting off till tomorrow what we can do today, it creates this big, ginormous, gross, scary monster in our mind, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger every single day or every single time we avoid it. At some point, that monster's got to, it's going to come out the closet, girl, one way or another. Either you're going to open the door and address it head on, or it's just going to come busting through like the Kool-Aid man through your walls and just addressing itself and making things that much harder. You know what I mean? So, that reminded me of a quote. That's what I was thinking of. I know this is from really old school. Popeye, I think his name was Wimpy. The guy that used to always be begging for some damn hamburgers. Like, bruh, get a job. But he would tell Popeye, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. So Brother Man was coming to Popeye maybe like on Friday, Wednesday, Sunday, talking about, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. Bruh, no. Okay, you're going to pay me today for what you take today. And that's the same thing. Like, we have to address the things now. We have to address the things now. And again, you're stealing from your future self. I have stolen from my future self many a time. Okay. But it's like, we have to start addressing these things now in the present. So one way to do this is let's say I was dealing with some debt stuff. And I had a debt collector calling, and I was terrified, okay? And so I went to my friend's place, and she sat with me while I made the call, okay? Because I had to address it. I couldn't avoid and run from it anymore. It just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So that's one thing. Maybe you telling a friend, again, a trusted friend, someone that, you know, has your back and your best interest at heart, maybe letting him or her know, hey, real talk, I'm being very real with you right now, and this is a little hard for me to talk about, but this is my situation, and I could really use your support, and how this will help me is, looks like this. Maybe you being in the room with me while I make these calls, so that way I know that I get them done, and I know I have support, and it doesn't feel like I'm alone and feel so scary, like I feel supported, right? So that's one thing. Or maybe it's Another one of my toxic traits is, like, I hate opening the mail, especially if I feel like there's something, like, scary in there. I don't know why I have this reaction to this. I mean, actually, I do, and that's another topic for another time, but I've gotten a lot better. But it still pops up sometimes, right? And so, just like, ooh, I know that's a past due bill. I don't have the money right now, or, you know, things along those lines. I tend to want to avoid until I have the money, you know, but that doesn't make sense because it's just making the problem worse, right? So maybe something that I could do if I needed to was just say, hey, I have a hard time opening my mail. Can you sit with me, for example, on Zoom? Here's my stack of bills or whatever, stack of mails or notifications or even emails. Let's say your thing is emails. Can we just sit on Zoom for 30 minutes and I'll just go through these things while I'm with you? That way I feel supported and not so alone and isolated. Does that make sense? Hopefully it does. But we have to get out of that little bubble that we have created by putting our blinders on. We got to take them blinders off, get out of that bubble, and stop, you know, shirking reality. Like, I know it, again, I know these things are like, they feel big and hard, and I get that, but these are things that we really have to do so that we can no longer steal from our future self, okay? The next thing that I would say is track your money, honey. Track your spending. That is one of the biggest ways you steal from yourself. Like Wimpy was saying, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. That is actually, now that I'm thinking about it, and I'm just now putting this together. But that is literally, like, again, debt, credit card bills. Like, you want to buy, for example, this mouse. I'm gonna buy this mouse today. But I'm gonna put it on my credit card. We know that interest rates and all that stuff is just absolutely freaking ridiculous, right? So that's one way that we're stealing from ourselves, that we're not paying off our credit card debt on time. And that, let me tell y'all something, okay? I know I'm talking about tracking your spending, but I want to say this really quickly. So recently, because I was having some issues with my credit cards, okay? And so I've paid off two or three of my credit cards. Anyway, the point is, there was one credit card, I think it was my Chase card, and I just kept getting hit with late fees because either auto pay. Because I was like, ooh, what if I don't have the money in there at the time? And, you know, just whatever. Didn't do auto pay. And then there would be times, especially like a few years ago, not necessarily currently, but this was a few years ago. But again, all this catches up with you one way or another. So I wouldn't have the money to pay it on the 15th, for example. I would have it like 1 month on the 18th, 1 month on the 16th, 1 month on the, you know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't be able to pay it on the day. And so recently, after I finally paid, I paid the card off a few months ago, actually, and I went back and looked, and I was hit with late fee after late fee. I probably paid maybe at least $800 in late fees, okay? $800 in late fees. I know you're probably clutching your pearls. I want to clutch them too. I'm not wearing pearls right now, but if I was, I would want to. But I'm just being real with you. That was / is my reality of where I was, you know? So back to tracking your spending, like every Monday, or almost every Monday, I do miss some Mondays, but for the most part, every Monday, I have a journal, actually. It's right here, as a matter of fact. I hadn't planned on showing this. I don't want to show too much because this is personal, but literally this journal is full of stuff, my spending. And as you can see, like, I literally only have like one or two pages left. This thing is full. I started this journal. So while I'm doing this, make sure you get a money journal somewhere you can track your spending. I started this money journal November of 2022. Okay. And there were some months that I missed for sure. But yeah, so track your spending. every week, look at what you have in your checking account every week and write it down, obviously. Write all this stuff down. This goes without saying. That's why we're tracking. But look at your checking account every Monday or every once a week, at least, at minimum. Look at your savings account at minimum once a week. Look at your investment account at least once a week. Look at what you have potentially coming in at least once a week, like your income and things like that. Look at what has been going out, okay? Just create little budgets, like how much you're going to spend for your phones, how much you're going to spend for your utilities, how much gas are you going to need for the month? What else do I do? Groceries, that's a huge one, right? I live in California. I know groceries are expensive, but here it's just ridiculous, okay? But like budget, like how much are you going to spend every month or every week for your groceries and things like that? Like just really start to become comfortable with looking at your money consistently, even if your bank account is like, sis, we struggling this week, okay? We got $32 in the bank and the phone bill is due next week, or just something like that. Like start, like don't shy away from it. Start to look at your money and track it. See where you are spending the most and how it's going out. For me, it's not necessarily anymore, but for me, one of the big things was the fast food. Thankfully, I've changed a lot of my eating habits and the ways that I think about food for me. And I'm doing intermittent fasting and different things like that. But even if I wasn't, like the appeal of fast food for me, thank God, it's not really there anymore like it was. I just prefer these days, more often than not every single time, but more often than not, I would prefer to have higher quality meals. And usually those are meals that I can make at home, or real talk, like, even if I do decide to eat out, I'm not necessarily going to like McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell. I'm not saying I don't ever have those things, but now it's, for me, it's more about higher end food, if that makes sense. So for example, I recently found a Mediterranean food place by my house, and oh my God, this food is so good. So it's like $15. I get this bowl of these healthier, fresh, and it's still, y'all, it is so good. It is so good. So those are the kind of, like, I'm just looking to elevate, you know, the foods that I eat, even if I can't prepare them or don't feel like preparing them all the time myself, because sometimes I don't want to be bothered with that. But again, I would rather have that Mediterranean food, that $15, $20 meal versus $20 at McDonald's, where we've talked about how that food is created and all that stuff, right? So, you know, I would prefer to have the fresher ingredients. But back to what I was saying, tracking your spending, you know, looking at what's coming in, looking at what's going out. That's a part of your money story. And if you have a fear around that, that's definitely something that needs to be addressed. Okay. So get you a journal. Like I mentioned before, you don't have to get anything fancy. I got this one from Michaels. I'm not even sure if they sell it anymore, but it's actually time for me to get a new one. So hopefully they do. But even if not, you can get a journal for like $10, $10, $15. And start tracking your spending. Start looking at your money. We have built up money in our mind so much. Like, we don't have it. It's scary. It's hard. It's not available to me. It's impossible. Like, we have built up all these money stories in our minds. And it's like we're scared to, like, get real with it and see where we are. But it's impossible for our future selves to thrive if we can't allow ourselves to get a handle on what we're currently facing, even though it can feel impossibly hard. But yeah, start tracking your spending in case you're not. Do your own Money Mondays or Financial Fridays or whatever you want to do, and start looking at your money. Okay. Start becoming more present in your spending. Be more mindful in your spending. I'm not saying don't buy the things that you want or need. I'm not here to tell you to abstain from anything. All right. I'm not. Every story is different. Every person is different. Everyone's needs are different. But just being mindful. Sometimes we buy stuff because we're just emotionally like drained, or we're just we're low energy, like we're not feeling good about ourselves. We need that dopamine hit, that boost, you know what I'm saying, to make us feel like we pop in. So we go and we start buying all these things, like just being more mindful of where your money's going and figuring out, like, why did I buy that? When did I buy that? Did I really need that? Yes, I did. Great. No, I really didn't. Okay, well, let's be aware of that for next month. You know what I'm saying? Tracking your spending, it really does help you do that. All right. So that's probably thing number four, I think. The next one is hard to, sis, look at your credit score. Ooh, that one has been hard for me too, because my credit has been all over the place. My credit has been all over the place. From the highest highs, mid 700s, to the lowest lows, probably like, I don't even know, 595, 600, something like that. Like, you got to look at your credit score. I hate it. I honestly, real talk, hate that this system that we thrive or live in or, and are trying to thrive in is based on money, capitalism, all that stuff. I really, honest to God, hate that. But that's the reality that we're in, and we want to do our best to just flow with this as we work to, you know, make change within ourselves and the environments and communities that we live in. But yeah, the whole credit score thing, you know, it's to me, it's all a game, and I'm just learning how to play it. You know what I mean? But you know, your credit score, unless you have lots of dinero and or access to, you know, money, that credit score is going to be what you need to buy that house or to get that car or, you know, different major things like that in life. Some people are like, you know what, damn a house, I don't care, damn a car, I'll take the bus. That's great. You know what I'm saying? You have to see how important that credit score is for you. For me, it's very important right now. It's very important right now. And so I'm actively working to raise my score yet again, feels like for the millionth time. But yeah, start with just looking at it. There are many apps. I have Chase. I can go in there and look at what my score is at any given time. And it sends me notifications if there is change, right? So I track my credit score. It's not the best right now, I'm not gonna lie. But it is what it is, right? Because I'm still handling things that were done in the past that I'm now, again, future self, me, current self, is dealing with stuff that past self did. Like, it's not an overnight kind of fix, you know what I mean? All of it takes time, from the mental part to the physical part. It all takes time, right? So don't, you know, allow yourself to get too discouraged to where you just want to give up. Remember that it's going to take time to make these, to self-correct and to make these changes, okay? But yeah, look at your score, girl. Track that with your money every week or every month, at least once a month, you know, track your score and see where you are. Look at your reports. See what things can be disputed if they are worth disputing. See what things you're like, ooh, let me see if I can pay this, and then ask them to take it off my credit if possible. Like, Just, or for example, if let's say you look at your score and you didn't realize that, let's say you're late on your car notes, for example, by, I think it has to be more than 30 days. So you're paying and you have like four times on your credit that you pay late on your car note, for example. That's like a flag or like a reminder to you, like, hey, I better make sure I get these on the auto pay, or I better make sure that I mail those checks out, or however you pay your bills, or I need to make sure I put it in my phone. Cause sometimes we're so busy that we just freaking forget, right? We don't have necessarily the memory of an elephant. Some of us do. I know that I don't, except for the most random things. Ask me about 80s commercials, sis, and I got you. Okay. 80s commercials for some reason. I don't know why that is, but, you know, put it in your phone, like set a reminder, put a monthly reminder, pay X bill or whatever it is, you know, do things that'll help you to remember, write it, get a wall calendar and put it up and write down the dates that all the things are due. If that makes better sense for you, but set yourself up for success, by giving yourself the type of reminders that you need so that you can pay the bills on time, or even remember to look at your credit score in a timely fashion and see what's going on, you know, there. Because that is a indicator of your financial health, right? The last thing that I can say is to set yourself up for future success is to stay valuable by learning a trade or learning something new that might be applicable. You can apply in the future. All right. And I say that to say that a college degree isn't necessarily the best thing for everyone, but there are ways that we can make ourselves valuable. For example, I just thought of this. I should have thought about this before, but one thing that I am good at is obviously I can podcast. So if I needed to barter, for example, I can teach people how to podcast. Something else that I know how to do very well is make candles. I made candles. I don't do it anymore because I just realized I just don't have the space to do it. And it requires a lot of space. Before a while with Brown Girl Self-Care, when you were buying those candles on the website shop, I was making those candles with love, with my own two hands, buying the supplies, putting scents together, doing all those things. Like, I was doing that. I had to learn about making candles and stuff like that. So I can use that down the line if necessary. But in the real world, like learning a trade, being an electrician, being a plumber, coding, you know, STEM, like just different things like that, so that you remain valuable. That's just what it is. Maybe your thing is like my friend, she is really good at gardening and growing plants and things like that. And she's really getting to a place where she's becoming self-sustainable. That is being valuable. She may not necessarily have access to all the things, right? So she might still need to buy things, certain things from the grocery store or whatever. But at some point, she wants to be able to have her own chickens and slaughter her own meat and have her own eggs and continue growing her garden of food, vegetables, lettuce, tomatoes, whatever. You know what I'm saying? On her own land. That is how you remain valuable. That's a skill set. Not everybody knows how to do that. I don't. I would love to be able to do similar things, maybe not some of it, but I don't know if I can see myself killing an animal, even though I know that our ancestors did it, like my grandmother did it. You know, I heard how she would go out there and I think that wring the chicken neck or something like that. I don't have the capacity, but I realize it's because my circumstances don't, like, it's not a necessity. Okay, put me out in the wilderness on somebody's land. In 2 months, you're going to see me wearing a loincloth, okay? My hair in dreads, flowing dreads, by the way. I'm going to have beautiful flowing dreads. And I'm going to be hunting somebody's deer in the woods with my bow and arrow, okay? I'm going to make it do what it do to survive. You know what I'm saying? But right now, obviously, I'm comfortable. It's not a necessity, but you don't know how things are going to change. And if you want to continue to invest in your future self, you want to continue to support your future self, lift her up, you know what I'm saying? Prepare her, or, you know, so when you get to that version of you, things feel easier. You're able to flow more. And when you're able to flow more and things feel easier, that helps you in a variety of ways. You don't feel as anxious about your future. You're able to feel more settled. You're able to feel more grounded, right? When you have set yourself up that way. Does that make sense? So that, like, staying valuable, and you need to determine what that looks and feels like for you, okay? But staying valuable is a necessity that your future self will definitely thank you for, okay? So I've given you those 6 things, and I really do hope that you find them helpful. I would love to hear your thoughts in the comments. If you're watching this on YouTube when this is released, make sure you leave a comment wherever the comment box is on your screen. And for those of you that are listening to this right now on the podcast, I want you to leave me a comment if you're listening on Spotify. And let me know your thoughts. Let me know what you think about supporting your future self and maybe one way that you can do that starting now. Again, you don't have to start hard you know, doing the biggest, most grandiose thing, but you do have to start. You do have to start, okay? So hopefully those tips helped. I would love to hear your thoughts. If you haven't done so already, please make sure you leave a rating and review on iTunes. That definitely does help the support the show. And I think that's all I've got for this week. So I just want to thank you so much for being here. I wish for you a blessed, whole, and restful week ahead. And thank you so much for listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. I will see you next Monday with another episode.